Let us bow our head and start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we know your great love for us. We know that you have a special message for us each weekend. Help us be open to that. Help us to conform our life to it. We ask this in Jesus' name. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, today's homily is in context of today's gospel and also in light of yesterday being the feast of the holy archangels, St. Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. Now, the gospel starts off today. St. John tells the Lord, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons." Well, demons and devils are present throughout the scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, and there is a battle that's going on for you, for our immortal soul, for you and me. The devil's goal is simple. He wants us to be in a state of mortal sin and to die in that state so he can drag our souls down to the fires of Gehenna. Our Lord Jesus Christ, with the angels and the saints, are trying to assist us to live in a state of sanctifying grace, friendship with Christ, so that whenever we're called and we're prepared for eternal life, that we could enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, in this battle, we have weapons and we have allies. Now, I just want to point out first a little bit from the scriptures about this battle, make it evident, just a couple examples, and it's throughout the scripture, some words from John Paul II and someone's personal experience. First, you have 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He says, "Be sober and vigilant. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, knowing that your fellow believers throughout the world undergo the same suffering." So the first pope, the church, is telling us, be sober and vigilant, be steadfast in your faith, because the devil is like a roaring lion. He's strong. If you're not steadfast, if you're not living your faith, he's going to chew you up, and he's going to just make mincemeat out of you. Then you have St. Paul, his letters to Ephesians. Anytime a subject comes up like spiritual warfare, this is the most quoted scripture in the Bible. So Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 11. So St. Paul says, "Put on the armor of God, so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil." What are the main tactics of the devil? Lies and deceptions. Jesus Christ called the devil a father lie and murderer from the beginning. I was on retreat in August. This is a point here about the tactics. And there's this older priest who had many years of experience in the world, then as a priest, he was ordained later in life. And he was talking to a gentleman, and he was just telling him about the reality of this battle. There's heaven, there's hell, there's devils, there's angels. And this guy, basically, he was practicing the faith how he thought he should do it. He wasn't going to church every weekend when he felt like it. And so the priest says, "You know, the devil's got you right where he wants you. Oh, he can't deceive me. I know what I'm doing. I know what's right." So the priest gave him a simple example, a test. It was great. There was a bottle cap, a thing of water that was on the table. So the priest, real quickly, with his left hand, picked up the bottle cap. And then with the other hand, he went like this. So he told the gentleman, "Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and on this question will hang your eternal salvation, whether you go to hell or heaven. Which hand is the bottle cap in?" "And follow, that's easiest in your left hand." The priest opened his hand. It wasn't there. He opened his other hand. It was in the right. The man was up. And the priest said, "Look, I'm just an amateur sleight of hand artist. What do you think about Satan and Lucifer, angelic intelligence? He has you right where he wants you. You think you're on the right path. You're not going to church. You're not praying. You haven't been to confession in years. He's got you. He's got you." So the man was just, well, anyway, that story right there really jarred that man back into reality that he was living a lie, not living the truth. Well, St. Paul goes on. He said, "Our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, with powers, with the world's rulers of present darkness, with evil spirits in heaven, therefore," the ones who have fallen in the skies, "therefore put on the armor of God, that you may be able to resist on the evil day, having done everything to hold your ground." If we don't have the armor of God, the devil can shoot these fiery bullets and we're mincemeat. The armor of God is living in a state of grace, praying, and frequenting the sacraments. There's one other scripture verse that really makes it vivid about this battle for the soul. Revelation chapter 12, starting with verse 7. "Then a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels battled against the dragon. The dragon and its angels fought back, but they did not prevail. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. The huge dragon of the ancient serpent is called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world, was thrown down. Now, when I'm teaching the 7th, 8th grade class at St. Mary's, I stop right there. So I ask him, gentlemen, ladies, the devils were cast down to where? And they go, the hell, Father! I said, well, let's open the Bible and see what it says. They were cast down to earth, and its angels thrown down with it. But woe to you, O earth and sea, the devil has come down to a great wrath. So there is a battle that's going on for your soul and for my soul. Now, John Paul II, Blessed John Paul II, in 1986, was talking about this subject. You know, for the most part, 99% of the time, the person's not going to see this big, ugly monster, the demonic creature, this big black mass coming at them. I have met people that have had this experience, but those are very, very, very rare. This is how John Paul II says the devil works. He said, the evil spirit makes attempts to instill man with an inner attitude of rivalry and disobedience towards God. Disobedience towards God. I don't care what the catechism says. I don't care what the Pope say. I don't care what the church teaches. I got it all figured out. I'm doing my way. John Paul II, that's where the devil's got the vast majority of people. That disobedience towards God and his church, the commandments. There's a right way, a wrong way. The right way is Christ's way, taught by the church. The wrong way is doing my own way. I don't need anybody else to tell me. That's foolishness. So now, in the gospel here today, our Lord, he talks about sin, and he talks about the results of it, about the unquenchable fires of Gehenna. And our Lord uses exaggeration here. He says, look, if your hand causes you to sin, or your foot, your eye, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. So if there's something in your life, brothers and sisters, if there's something in our lives that are taking us on a path that's not of God, we have to cut that off. Our Lord says, look, we're talking about your immortal soul here. We only have one chance to live. We either live in a state of grace and die in that, or we don't. Now that depends all of eternity. Now let me give you a true story of someone who was in the clutches of evil. But by God's infinite mercy has come. Come to Jesus Christ, the Blessed Sacrament. Come to his mercy and come to the Blessed Mother. Her name is Deborah Lipsky, and she's from Maine. And she was deeply involved in the occult. She was actually a Satanist. She was involved in a lot of very evil things in that dark world. And so they asked her, Deborah, you were allies with the devil at one point. How do the demons afflict us? And this is what she said. She said, through negative thoughts. I'll stop for a second. Negative thoughts. Oh, that person's no good. This is bad. That's bad. I'm no good. Through negative thoughts. Through lying. Through anger. Through sexual immorality, hatefulness, and other forms of sin. Now the readings say, the first reading talks about jealousy. St. James' second reading talks about greed. So all these different things, she said, the devil uses. She said, demons feed on us and excites them. She says, once you produce a negative thought, it has a frequency level that easily connects with demons because like attracts like. They're also attracted by unresolved hurts. I'm never going to forgive my neighbor. I'm never going to forgive my mother-in-law, whatever it may be. Unresolved hurts. She said they fester over time like ugly wounds and become like perfume that attracts demons. They love, this is her speaking, they love fear and anxiety because it gives them energy. They hover around youngsters because teens are hormonally charged and prone to demonic lyrics, a lot of the things they listen to. That further arouses energy by evoking anger, defiance, lust, and rebellion. And then she says, but the way is very deadly, she says, the quickest way a demon gains entrance to someone's life is through the occult involvement of any type, which would be psychics, mediums, astrology, Ouija boards, tarot cards, the like. She says, through those, they open up a gate. They don't know what they're messing with. And after time goes on, they're ensnared by it, and they can't get loose of it. And my dear friends, what weapon do you think is the most powerful in combating against the things I just mentioned, that she mentioned? The sacrament of confession. The sacrament of confession. This battle that we're in, Christ does not want us to do it alone, but he wants to do this battle with us, that we be victorious. We go to confession. Father, forgive me. I have hatred in my heart. I have unforgiveness in my heart. I have lust. I have greed. Whatever it is. And give it there so the Lord could free you. See, the longer someone stays away from confession, the devil puts up another layer of chains, another chain. Before you know it, the person's so weighed down and so oppressed that they're gloomy all the time. Lots of suicide, things like that start dominating their lives because of, and the dark side's dominant. Go to the sacrament of confession, where we have to humble ourselves and we look at our life, am I living my life in obedience to Christ? You know, I love St. Faustina in the Diary of Divine Mercy. And a priest friend and I, a class, it was a year ahead of me, Father Steve Lawson, we were talking about this. And he says, you know, the devil, St. Faustina said in the Diary that the devil can imitate humility, but he can't do obedience. He can't do that. Someone can pretend to be humble, but you can't pretend obedience. Either you're doing it Christ's way or you're not. Now also in this battle, a powerful ally that we have is St. Michael the Archangel. Now think about this. We pray that St. Michael prayer at all of our Masses, all our weekend Masses, both parishes. So well over 1,000 times a week between our parishes, that prayer is ascending up there to heaven, asking St. Michael to come to our assistance. I am convinced, as your pastor, that we've been protected by so many other evils that would have come down upon us as a parish, and individually, and as family, because we turned to St. Michael. And we're not even aware of it. And like a mother takes care of a child, the child might be 2 months old, 3 months old. The mother may be up the whole night taking care of the sick child. The child has no idea of the care that's been given to it. We really have no idea of the countless number of graces God sends us. We're not even aware of it. You know where the St. Michael prayer came from? It was October 13th, 1884. Pope Leo XIII wrote that prayer after he had this mystical experience. He just gotten done offering the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and he dropped to the ground. Some thought he was dead. All the blood had rushed from his face. He was white as a ghost, and he was just like still. And he revived. He came up. He said, "Take me to my study." I'm making this short. There's not more to the story, but then he wrote the St. Michael prayer, and he said that he had a vision of the evil spirits being released from hell and their efforts to try to destroy the church. We'll never destroy it, because Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail, but they can inflict a lot of casualty, taking a lot of souls with them. But in the midst of the horror, he said, "I saw the archangel St. Michael appear and cast Satan and his legions into the abyss of hell." And so he wrote that, "St. Michael, the archangel, defend us in battle." In John Paul II in 1994, reflecting on this, he said, "Pope Leo XIII certainly had a very vivid vision of the scene when at the end of the last century he had introduced a special prayer to St. Michael throughout the church." And then the Holy Father continues, "I ask everyone to remember it and to recite it to obtain help in battle against the forces of darkness and against the spirit of this world." We have a mighty, mighty ally in St. Michael, and the popes are recommending turning towards him. This, I'll conclude with this. What I ask you to do today, when you receive Holy Communion, I want you to come with a spirit of gratitude to St. Michael. You're receiving our Lord, but you can offer up your Holy Communion, at least part of your intention, in honor of St. Michael. When we come to Communion, oftentimes we have a particular intention. The priest has the intention of Mass, but you can add other intentions to it. You may be coming to pray maybe for a sick mom or dad, or maybe a grandson that's gone the way of the world, has left the faith. Or maybe you have a lot of troubles in your life. Ask the Lord for extra courage and strength and humility. But in addition to those intentions, if you could add this, in gratitude, Heavenly Father offers Holy Communion, in gratitude for St. Michael for his protection. And the times he protected us without even knowing it. And where that comes from is St. Gertrude the Great. She was a great mystic of the church. And she was preparing for the Feast of the Holy Archangel, September 29th. And that was going to be her main intention that day. So when she received Holy Communion that day, she said, "I offer you, Heavenly Father, this sacrament, O most loving Lord, for your eternal glory, and in honor of the princes of your kingdom." St. Michael is the prince of the heavenly host. "In honor of the princes of your kingdom, and for the increase of their felicity and beatitude." Our Lord then appeared to her there. "You have caused great joy the angelic spirits with that prayer intention." And then after that, the angels appeared to St. Gertrude and said, "You have indeed honored us by this oblation, we will therefore guard you with special care. My dear friends, the battle, we have helps, we have confession, we have the other sacraments, we have Our Lady, the Rosary, the Chaplet, but we also have a mighty ally in St. Michael. So let's have a spirit of gratitude in a particular way of communion today for all the times He's helped us. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.